Hello, this is Carlos Pascual, Senior Vice President for Global Energy and International Affairs at IHS Markit. It's a pleasure to welcome you to the CERAWeek Conversations brought to you by IHS Markit. These are conversations with industry leaders, people who are guiding their companies, government, financial sector, academia, and the challenges that we face in energy transition and dealing with the energy sector and the COVID pandemic. And today we have an opportunity to talk with the CEO of Petrobras, Roberto Castelo Branco. Roberto, it's such a pleasure to have you. Welcome to these CERAWeek Conversations.
It's my pleasure, Carlos, to have this conversation with you, an opportunity to exchange ideas and to extract views of this crisis.
Roberto, I've been looking forward to this conversation. I'll tell you why. I'll tell our audience. Brazil really has become a destination point for energy investment. It's been transformative in the country over the last few years. You've been critical in that transformation in Petrobras. And one of the things that we want to understand is how you're managing to effectively continue to make Brazil that destination point and make it so productive for the future. And so maybe as a starting point, Roberto, you can tell us a little bit more about the context. How is the pandemic affecting Brazil and Petrobras right now?
Well, I believe that the world as a whole was not prepared to face a pandemic. Although we are living an age of pandemics, since the beginning of this century, we have seen many epidemics, some regional, some even global. So our most powerful remedy to, as a public health measure to try to contain the pandemics of COVID-19 is promoting a recession, a global recession. It's a very deep one and synchronized when all countries without any exception, I believe, are suffering a recession. Brazil is not different. Despite the efforts of the Brazilian economy, of the Ministry of Economy, spending more, focusing on the most needy people, and the central bank injecting liquidity and facilitating credit to small and medium enterprise, there will be a very deep recession in Brazil. With respect to Petrobras, this is the worst crisis of the global oil and gas industry in the world. We have some episodes of price collapse in 2008 with the global financial crisis. Price declined significantly. There was a lot of volatility, but demand contracted, but it was much less than now. In 2014, price collapsed again to the sudden growth of the shale oil producers' production, but demand didn't decrease. There was a supply shock. And now we have both demand, global demand, and supply shock. As we have seen, the price collapsed, but demand suffered a significant contraction. So there is a very big challenge for all oil companies in the world. And Petrobras is responding to the crisis we are battling in two fronts, focusing on people's health and on the company's health. With respect to people's health, we reduced significantly people working in the offices. 90% of corporate areas are in home office. With respect to operations, we reduced the teams without suffering any loss of production. So in onshore operations like refineries, the percentage of people in the workplace is about 50% of the total labor force. In offshore operations, we have 55. In addition to these measures, we are testing extensively our employees before they enter the operations, they start to work in the operations. We're using RT-PCR tests and other faster tests. This is our main public health measure. And some other facilitating the access to telemedicine and other. So we believe that we are taking good care using technology to protect our labor force. On the financial health side, I believe that financially Petrobras is healthy. We accessed our committed credit lines of almost $9 billion. We have a war chest, as I say. We are having much more cash than usually carry for reasons of capital allocation, but now the priority is liquidity. We always say that cash is king. Nowadays, cash is God. So it's our main concern is to preserve the liquidity of our company. We increased that a little bit, postponed some payments like dividends, executive bonuses. We are cutting costs. This is a very good opportunity to cut costs. A crisis has a terrible side, a very negative one. 260,000 people died in the world, and unfortunately, I believe many more will be added to this very sad list. But on the other side, there are good things happening, particularly in two sides. First, we are compelled to intensify our strategic efforts that were outlined last year, among them to cut costs. We aim to be a winner, not a loser. So we have to cut costs very deeply because we do not believe that the world post COVID-19 will be the same as before. We have to deal with the new scenario for oil price, and they will be lower than we believed till the first quarter of this year. And we are learning lessons every day. There is the crisis offer a very rich opportunity to learn lessons and to become more efficient. It's very important to learn these lessons and to use the new knowledge for the future.
Roberto, that was an incredible exposition of the steps that you're taking and the historic nature of the moment. And let's break it apart and explore some aspects of that in a little bit more detail. You mentioned the historic nature of the combination of the demand shock and the supply shock that's taking place at the same time. And it led to a meeting of the OPEC plus countries, the G20 countries, to look at what could be done on supply management. Historic in many ways. Who could have ever imagined that the United States, Russia, and Saudi Arabia together were going to be working on increasing oil prices? I'm just curious, from your perspective, not only as a leader of a company, but as an economist, what was your reaction to the measures taken by OPEC plus and the G20?
Carlos, I am skeptical about the role of OPEC on prices. I am a strong believer that global oil prices are determined by global demand and global supply. OPEC has no power to determine price in the long term. And why is that? Because they call themselves a cartel. To work a cartel, to have pricing power, you have to have a coordinator. And the coordinator has to have the power to monitor the commitments of the members of the cartel and to punish them. So the basic assumption is that there will be a coordination of interests and someone empowered to monitor the process and to have ability to punish with fees or some other punishment those that do not comply with the rules. I have never seen that. So in the economic literature on oil price tells us that it's global demand, just that, no OPEC. I think that all OPEC has much more a political role than economic role.
Well, indeed, restoring economic demand is going to be critical for the recovery for everybody. If you can't sell the oil, and if it's difficult to store it, then there's a real problem for the industry. And you mentioned some of the steps that you're taking. One of them was focused around cutting costs. And you had previously indicated that you were looking to reduce the break-even price for the average barrel that's produced by Petrobras from $40 to $25. How are you moving on that? Is it possible to get to that goal in this environment?
We believe that it's possible. We are pursuing that. We are cutting costs. As I said, one of the good things of a recession is to contribute to accelerate some changes. And that's what we are doing. Not only cutting costs, but using more information technology to help us to become more efficient and to be able to deal with a low price scenario. Now we can live with $25. The company will not go bankrupt. Don't have to ask for the help of governments. And it's completely different. Petrobras now is completely different to what it was 5 years ago. If the COVID-19 crisis happened at that time, Petrobras should be a patient with all comorbidities, and it will need treatment in an ICU. And I believe that after a short period of time, it should have died. But now it's different. The crisis caused damage to ourselves in terms of profitability, of course. But we continue afloat, liquid, and we have to prepare the company for the post-COVID-19 period. That's reducing costs, using more intensively the instruments of digital transformation, such as artificial intelligence, to help us to emerge as a winner, not as a loser.
Roberto, these tools like digitalization, any examples that you can share at this point on where it's had a big impact?
Petrobras was well behind the curve in terms of information technology. To be very candid with you, we were in the 20th century, not in the 21st century. Very rapidly, the company is introducing some tools and knowledge. I have created a division for digital transformation and innovation. Wednesday, I was able to have a video conference with more than 10,000 employees. If it happened at the end of last year, I had no way to do that. I have to pay for, should have to pay for something. We were with a broken legs at that time. And to give you an example of the use of artificial intelligence. We have a process, a project, we call it XP100. Through the machine learning, we are pursuing to increase dramatically the probability of success in finding oil once we drill. We are pursuing 100% of success once we drill a well. So it will be very important for our company in terms of exploration. In terms of project development, we have a project that's Prod 1000. Currently, it takes 3,000 days, or more than almost 8 years from discovery to first oil. Our purpose is to shorten this period to only 1,000 days. It's very challenging, but we are confident that our researchers will be able to deliver the job.
Those are phenomenal examples. Now, let's take a second to discuss how these changes affect the development of your assets. On the one hand, you're trying to increase liquidity. As you said, cash is God at this point, and you've had to cut certain capital expenditures, operating expenditures. You have improvements in efficiencies that you've made, and at the same time, you have assets that you're seeking to develop. How does this all play out, for example, in the context of your pre-salt assets? Does it allow you to get the right balance to continue to move those projects forward, or do they need to somehow be reassessed and rescheduled?
One of our decisions was to perform a full review of our asset portfolio, to submit them to a stress test, to evaluate the financiability of these projects, because capital to us is more scarce now. So there should be a stronger competition among projects for capital. Only the very good will be selected for implementation. This is in process. I do believe that the recent assets we acquired, such as Búzios, they will pass very easily to the stress test, and we were and we are still very bullish about Búzios and other recent assets acquired by Petrobras.
In regard to fiscal terms set by the government, do you feel that this is a time when it's important to have flexibility on reviewing those fiscal terms, or do you believe that you can move forward with the conditions that exist?
Well, we have said many times that we don't need any help from the government. Petrobras is an adult. It can walk by itself, by its own means. We don't need fiscal exceptions or some preference or even financing by public banks. What I hope the government will achieve in the future is to change the regulations of the Brazilian oil industry. They are very tight. They remove the attractiveness of our oil fields, because as such, I continue to fight for the abolition of the profit sharing contracts and local content clause. I'm a strong believer that in a regulation more pro-market oriented, geological legacy is a necessary condition to attract interest of investors. Mm-hmm. But it's not a necessary condition. We must create an environment more friendly to investment.
So the fiscal environment should be looked at from the perspective of competition globally and how to attract investors to come to Brazil. But the challenge that you feel that you face is how to make sure that whatever the environment is, that you can operate effectively. In a very pragmatic perspective. Now, you mentioned digitalization and transformation, and of course, we're speaking on a digital broadcast, and we have a completely new environment. And of course, people are driving less, There's less economic activity, as you mentioned, the economic downturn. How does all of this affect your downstream business and your plans for the future?
Oh, of course, it had a serious impact on downstream operations. We have the mix of declining fuel price and demand contraction. In April, we believe that the estimated sales for jet fuel were 6% of the pre-COVID-19 period. There was a contraction demand for gasoline. Our reaction was to reduce the utilization factor of the refineries and enhancing marketing and logistics capabilities. We have been very successful in the exporting crude oil. April was record month in all Petrobras history of exports, mainly due to China, Petrobras oil quality is recognized in China. We have several private sector clients that have a strong preference to use Petrobras oil in their refineries. And also, given the low sulfur content of our oil, we are increasing exports for bunker oil. So this is not the brightest of the scenarios, but at least is helping us to survive.
Roberto, you've given us a tremendous perspective on the changes that you're taking within Petrobras, and I want to thank you for that. You demonstrated the importance of liquidity, of maintaining your liquidity, that cash is God. I think that will be a phrase that gets captured and used in many settings in the future. You stressed the importance of action. Your dog started barking as soon as you mentioned action, so your dog obviously was strongly in favor of that. You gave us a very strong image of the transformation of Petrobras, a patient that would have been suffering in a previous circumstance, and how you've used this opportunity to strengthen it for the future. These are great images, great perspectives of how you're using this period to make the company stronger. I want to thank you very much, Roberto Castelo Branco, the CEO of Petrobras. Thank you, Roberto.
Thank you, Carlos. It was a pleasure to have this conversation with you.